Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Budiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're getting into a conversation about Black Friday as the single biggest retail bonanza in the retail period. This is something that we talk about time and time again on this platform, but usually at the end of the year, in the last quarter, that's when you usually hear us talking about Black Friday. But for today, we are looking back at that period, and there's a team that has come up with some research just looking at what happened last year, but more importantly, the place of Black Friday and its accompanying Cyber Monday, retail events and period, and how important that is, in the broader economy. So to help us to make sense of what's going on, we are joined by Rory Bosman. He is from eCentric. He is the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, and he's just going to give us a sense of some of the data and research that they've been able to pull out together with the World Wide Works. Rory, greetings to you today.
Hi, Madiba. Yes, thanks for having me.
A good place for us to start, Rory, before we get into Black Friday itself, because people will want to understand, okay, fine, we're about to talk about Black Friday, but eCentric, what are you guys, doing? I understand that you guys are quite, a systemically important company when it comes to payments in the country.
Yes, well, that's a flattering way to put it, but we do play a significant role, and it's important to validate our the data that we use to make to provide the indications and information we do. So, eCentric Payment System is probably an organization that all of your listeners that have interacted with at some point, they just wouldn't have known they were doing so. And that is because we process payments for the bulk of the large retailers in South Africa. So without naming names, if you've gone into a large grocery store or clothing and apparel retailer in South Africa, you would like and paid digitally or paid by any means other than cash, you would likely have used our services without realizing it. So we process roughly 9% of South Africa's GDP and about 20% of all card transactions that happen in South Africa go through our environments.
No, that's actually quite brilliant. And at least, then people will understand where this data is actually coming from, because there's a lot that's, happening in this space. And you guys do see a lot of data flowing through your system, a lot of transactions and payments flowing through, so you can give us some good insight. One of the first things I want to maybe get your sense, from is we always talk about every single year just how big and growing something like Black Friday is. But from an eccentric point of view, maybe you can help to contextualize as a company that is, processing that high volume of, payments. Just how big is, Black Friday? And for the few retailers that haven't started taking it seriously yet, why should they be taking it seriously?
Absolutely. That kind of speaks to why we decided to develop this index. We sit on a huge amount of data that tells us and can tell us and provide a lot of value and tell us a lot of things about consumer behavior, buying habits, and which is of immense value to our customers, a large percentage of whom are retailers. So why it's significant is and quantifying that that significance is really what we wanted to do, is to indicate why it is so. But at on a ballpark basis and around the world, the indication is that just over 7% of all retail spend, certainly in South African market, happens across those 4 days between Black Friday and Cyber Monday at the end of the year. And that's as opposed to, so that's over, that's almost it's just under, but say 1.8% of all retail spend happens for the year happens on each of those 4 days, as opposed to the average across the country and across the rest of the year, which is 0.2 of percent of retail spend. So there is a huge amount happening for retailers, and a lot of margin impact happening during those 4 days.
You know, if we're going to take a round figure, because I know that total retail in South Africa, some people estimate it at about a trillion point one, you know, across the board. Those 1 or 2, you know, percentage points that you're talking about, that's a lot of money.
It absolutely is a lot. And obviously it depends on what segment or sector you're in as a retailer or a merchant. But, you know, the evidence is there that it makes a significant difference to bottom line for retailers, how they deal with it and how they approach and maximize the benefit and impact of Black Friday, Cyber Monday week has an enormous impact on their bottom lines.
So maybe you can give us a sense of maybe what's going on, you know, in this space. We often hear about, I think the technology companies, for example, seem to be quite serious. Your technology companies, as well as your online players, seem to take Black Friday and, you know, understandably Cyber Monday, very seriously. But before we get to those specific ones, who else in the economy do you see as having done well or benefited from Black Friday in the retail sector? What segments?
Well, first of all, I should just mention that we excluded the grocery sector from the index, or the data that feeds the index, and the reason is that spend doesn't vary that much across the year. So it's other consumer goods, appliances, basically anything, actually. There isn't really a distinction. If the question is what segments or which profile of merchants benefited the most over the last year from the Cyber Monday, Black Friday week, it's essentially those that have identified and driven promotions around three key areas. One, they've focused on promoting and promotions in the e-commerce sphere. So rather than just being in-store oriented, they've optimized a couple of things that consumers have latched onto in the e-commerce world. And I'll give you more detail around what those likely are. Then they've created in-store experiences for their in-store customers. So, you know, there's a narrative gaining popularity around globally, which is around turning stores and retail in-person shopping into an experience and a destination rather than a, you know, commoditized activity. And there's quite a lot being done in that world, and the retailers that capitalized on that are certainly benefiting. And then the last category, shall we say, of in this grouping is those that have maximized omnichannel as a concept that drives a retail experience for a consumer. So I can go into each of those in a little bit more detail on what they effectively mean, but just what omnichannel basically comes down to is a seamless experience for consumers, regardless of which channel they're making their purchase on. So whether it's online or in-store or via an app, that their experience is equally pleasant, that there's and efficient and fast, and that they have access to the same inventory, targeted promotions based on their profile, all apply across those different channels. Buying online and collecting your purchase in store, something where industry calls a click and collect model, those things are big wins and enablement mechanisms for retailers around that Cyber Monday, Black Friday week.
One of the more interesting things about the retail sector, apart from the fact that it's a, you know, 1 trillion Rand market annually in South Africa, is that the e-commerce piece, and there's various definitions of what e-commerce is. Some people distinguish it from online retail, and all of this stuff, is that as much activity as we see online, still a relatively small portion, some people estimating 5 to 7%. But I do understand that, you know, during that specific period, that weekend period, because it's usually, the Friday, you know, the Saturday, and then you've got the Cyber Monday directly after that, that we see online activity, you know, shooting up. Would I be venturing too far to say that, you know, a good chunk of, I guess, the annual number will come from that period during the holidays?
Unquestionably. No, that wouldn't be a reach at all. That's 100% true. You know, just on e-commerce in general, in around 2019, South Africa, from a retail split between online and in-store volume, so how much retail was happening across those different channels, was something like, it was somewhere but just over 1% of retail traffic or transactions happened in online, and we're now sitting at 5 or 6%, and that is largely driven or given a significant boost by lockdown and the COVID sort of reality where nobody could leave home. But it's driven a significant and sustained and ongoing shift towards online shopping in South Africa at a far greater rate than anybody would have anticipated, you know, pre-2020. And that continues to grow. I mean, we saw now over this most recent period, comparing year on year 2023 to 2024, that there was a 30% growth in online transactions versus in-store transactions.
Yeah, and that sounds like a huge, those are huge jumps. And, you know, we can only estimate that those jumps are likely to even increase going forward. Because you guys do touch on what's happening in the e-commerce sector, you know, through your payments platform, I'm keen to get a sense of when it comes to actually driving up that e-commerce activity, what do you see as, you know, working? Is it more the pure play, I'm online and I have that online store and I'm delivering to the door? Is it the, I think you highlighted just now, the click and collect aspect, that has become a bit popular? From an e-commerce point of view, what, you know, how are people, I guess, if we're going to speak in church terms, how are they winning over the souls?
Yes, winning over souls is actually what it comes down to. That's our committed people are to their respective retail channels. So there are a couple of things that we see really impacting that mobile space, the e-commerce space. And one of them is mobile optimized platforms. You know, gone are the days where people do online shopping from their computers exclusively. It's majority from people's smartphones now. So your platform from a retail point of view has to be optimized for phone first before anything else. So a lot of that's around usability. And what that experience is going to be like for that consumer, and that the form factors are appropriate to that use case. And then a couple of more commercial aspects that we see are significant. One is a frictionless, what the industry terms a frictionless checkout experience. There's nothing more frustrating for an average consumer who goes through their buying process, which to them is the select and make a decision to buy. As in, I've evaluated and looked at 15 pairs of shoes. These are the ones I want. And then having trouble at the end paying. You know, I want to use whatever rewards program that I've got as a tender type, or I want to use my card and credit card, etc., whatever it might be, has to be as frictionless as humanly possible for two reasons. One, it builds confidence. And for the consumer then builds trust and confidence in that platform. And two, just the basic frustration of hitting a hurdle at some point where for some inexplicable reason you can't complete your sale. Making sure that is optimized is one of the top reasons for success for merchants in the e-commerce space. As I said, focusing on optimizing mobile-based platforms, whether that's incentives as well that are available online only. And then probably the single biggest factor, after the ease of paying, it's the shipping and delivery process. Fast, reliable, no hassle, arrives on time when I expect it to be is probably the last biggest component of an e-commerce optimizing strategy for a retailer.
Yeah, no, definitely. I can identify with what you're saying because, you know, we've seen it at our own house that when you are at checkout, for example, online, it's very frustrating when, you know, for example, you've got money in your account, but for one reason or other, your bank, declines to make a certain payment. That tends to happen a lot when you are visiting maybe some of the international sites, or maybe you've got either a promo code or a gift voucher of some sort, and you're only discovering now that because some gift vouchers are applicable in store and also online, but in certain cases you're only discovering actually this thing doesn't work online. You know, so a big part of your purchasing decision goes out the window now because now you had budgeted X amount and now the thing that you were banking on, isn't working. That customer experience is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I alluded to it, but maybe didn't mention it explicitly enough. The choice of payment method is an absolutely definitive factor. You know, you mentioned vouchers, and having that voucher and being able to use it and be use it in your or what whatever preferred choice of payment method that you have from a consumer point of view is one of the big drivers of satisfaction from a consumer point of view. That must work easily. It must just happen. And it's very frustrating to a lot of consumers when they cannot use the payment method of their choice.
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe if we zone in on that customer experience, Rory, one of the other things that is there is when you talk to some of the retailers and even the banks, because they're customer facing as well. There seems to be this big obsession around customer experience right now. It's almost become a bit of a buzzword in a number of industries. And right now, it seems that a lot of people are thinking about their customer experience as it pertains to personalization and, you know, tying that up with yet another buzzword, which is AI. What are we seeing in the space, around that coming together of personalization, of customer experience, artificial intelligence, that type of thing?
I mentioned earlier that in-store experiences, as opposed to just in-store activities, is proving to be one of the differentiators in retail, physical retail. And that can mean and does mean a few different things to different people, notwithstanding the need for all stock items and inventory to be available across all channels. But interactive shopping that becomes an experience in and of itself that you can't really have virtually is driving an in-store experience that really attracts feet through the door. So where augmented reality and AI play a role is, you know, a typical scenario might be, I like the shirt that I'm tried on. I'm looking at it in the mirror or the camera system, but I'd really like it in green and rather blue. What will that look like? And an augmented and AI-driven system that can show me what it would look like, without me having to go and find one that isn't perhaps in stock in that store at that particular time. Mixing and matching. So, you know, we're sort of talking about apparel at the moment, but if it's a hat and a shirt and pants and shoes and things that go together, that can be easily demonstrated in a virtual reality scenario to me as a consumer. I don't have to go and make the choices myself, or I don't have to run the risk of making a bad decision if I'm looking for an outfit. Those things speed up and improve the shopping experience significantly, but that it really creates an interactive experience that warrants a visit to the store. We're seeing a lot of a positive impact there.
Yeah, this that aspect around the experience very clean and important. I've seen a number of different retailers coming up with interesting ways. I was actually reflecting just now when you mentioned the mixing and matching for apparel, that a couple of the retailers have the smart mirrors that allow you to try on, at least, you know, you try on virtually, different outfits and that type of thing. Some apps are now allowing people to check what a certain shade of makeup will look on their face. So it's an interesting one. And at least you are then able to tell us that those types of things are driving sales, because I guess on the outside, there will be questions around, things that are gimmicky versus things that actually drive value.
Yes, absolutely. And the data indicates these are the things that drive real value for merchants.
All right. One of the things that I'm then keen to understand is around digital payments. One of the conversations we've had time and time again on this platform is this, I'm going to call it the war against cash. The impetus to increase digital payments in South Africa. I guess I'm asking you on a broader level, because you are from a payments company, to maybe give us your sense of, what digital payments are looking like right now in this space, and within the context of this conversation, whether or not digital payments is something that is actually helping to drive maybe sales and stuff like that at a moment like a Black Friday. You mentioned earlier on how, you know, things like frictionless and all of that stuff. So just keen to get your sense on that front.
Yeah, it's important to consider that digital payments are not just around ease of transacting. There are a number of things that can be considered a digital payment. You know, the use of a voucher, for example, to conduct an online transaction, because maybe as a consumer you don't have a credit card, which is enabled for e-commerce, but you can buy a voucher that is accepted online chain that might be for. That's a digital transaction and a digital payment that enables commerce that wouldn't otherwise be possible. And I'd mention that one as an example because it goes to financial inclusion of, you know, people across certainly South Africa, but also our entire continent, and enabling people to interact commercially, and as well as bringing the informal economy that much closer and connected to the formal economy. So if you consider folks who earn wages typically in cash and don't have bank accounts, either because they don't qualify or because they're too expensive, they are limited in terms of what they are or are not able to purchase and the channels through which they can purchase. So if you wanted to buy something online and you only have cash, what do you do? Well, there are, as I've mentioned, the example, earlier, there are vouchers that you can buy that are then accessible and enable you to transact online. There's a lot of growth in the digital rewards universe. We all know a retailer, we have wallets full of cards that, you know, accumulate value over time as part of a rewards program for the retailers that we engage with or the merchants that we engage with. You've got to be able to turn those into value by using them to transact in some way. And that's a digital payment. So there are two drivers. One is ease of transacting. And we see that, and I mentioned it earlier, being able to use the digital payment mechanism of your choice as a consumer is a big driver in determining where you might buy something. If you've got a choice. The second thing is around digital inclusion and enabling people who don't necessarily have conventional payment methods like credit and debit cards and bank accounts to participate in the formal economy. I'm not sure how familiar listeners will be with a product called PayShop. This was launched a year and a half ago now. And its intention is to enable very cheap, immediate payments for everybody across the sort of financial spectrum, but with its primary driver being the enablement of people at the sort of bottom of the economics pyramid who need to engage and trade. High volumes of transactions, but very low value. The example that some of us in the industry use is somebody who's selling bananas on the side of the road needs to be able to receive payment, and he wants to be able to do it in a digital way, that doesn't require cash, because cash, as we've mentioned, has a number of limitations, not least of which is if you're going to go and buy a stock again, you've got to put it into a bank account, wait for that settlement to clear, then go and make a payment to your supplier, all of which takes a huge amount of time and comes at a significant cost to that banana salesman. Whereas PayShop is designed to enable very fast, non-fraudulent, very safe and very cheap digital transactions across our financial spectrum, and that is coming. The first couple of versions and use cases are available already, but to be able to use PayShop in a retail context where you or I will be able to pay via some proxied wallet, whether it's your cell phone provider value or a retail loyalty program that you've linked to it, or whatever it might be, and being able to do that without any cost is going to make a massive difference to the growth of the economy over time. And that's coming.
I can definitely see and understand where you're coming from on that front, especially from the financial inclusion front, bringing more people in the net. When it comes to digital payments and actually allowing it, I've actually heard in the past that one of the barriers, to your point about low value payments was, 50 Rand, anything below 50 Rand, making a digital payment in that sense, was seen as being quite expensive. So anything that can help to bring the cost down and increase that inclusivity, is a good thing. Rory, before we let you go, two things. Firstly, given everything we've spoken about today, maybe as a way to wrap everything up, is how can retailers maybe take the information contained in your index and, maybe other sources to better prepare for this year's holiday season when it comes to Black Friday, Cyber Monday, as well as, the ensuing Christmas period after that. And then secondly, this is only the first round of the index. What are some of the things that you might perhaps be waiting to see in future to develop, because there's certain trends you've seen and maybe there's things that you will be keen to see how they track over time. What are you interested in from that point of view?
Thanks, Madiba. So firstly, our index has been published. It's available from our website at ecentric.co.za, ECENTRIC, and it's downloadable from there. And then, so this is the first published version. It's going to be an annual exercise, and it compares 2023's figures and 2024's figures, firstly. So that gives us a year-on-year trend indicator over time. And some of the key things that its intention is to provide insight for merchants and retailers into the value of Black Friday and Cyber Monday and how to maximize the benefit of that period. And, the couple of the metrics that we look at in so doing and to achieve that insight is the volume of transactions and how they shift from the balance of the year through the holiday period. And then in that holiday period, which is typically 1st of November until the 24th of December, how they shift between the bulk period and specifically that Black Friday period. And then so shifts between online and in-store, and then also value movement between online and in-store. We saw it over the Black Friday period at the end of 2024, that it wasn't just how much more people were buying online, but it's also the value of those transactions. So what people were choosing to buy online, and that's been a significant change as well. So the indications are that for 2025, big ticket items like appliances, for example, new washing machine or lawnmower, whatever it might be, people are now doing their shopping beforehand, waiting for a promotion to be announced specifically around Black Friday or Cyber Monday, and then doing the purchase. They've already decided what they want. It's just a question of where they get it. And they're happy to do that online now, which more so than they were before. So those are some of the things that we look for and that we analyze in our data.
All right. So that's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one just hearing from Rory around their index when it comes to, Black Friday, Cyber Monday and that, retail period, just hearing about it. It's their first Black Friday index, as he said, comparing 2023 to 2024, giving them year-on-year, numbers and figures, to see what's happening in the market. It is very interesting just to see, some of the trends that they noted and that they have seen things happening. Things happening on the side of digital payments and e-commerce, but also at the same time, what's happening in store and the fact that there's technology that can be applied to both in the online space and even in the physical space. Digital payments is something that's being pushed, but in your physical, retail locations, one of the things that Rory is pointing out is that the experience is the big thing that a lot of retailers are either taking advantage of or need to take advantage of, to drive some of those sales. Also, I'm making us understand, some of the trends in the sector and the value of, that particular index, the value of Black Friday. That's how we began the conversation, just talking about just how big it is when it comes to the volume of trade, the number of payments and transactions that are happening on those couple of days. So we do wait to see what happens from there. And obviously, talking about AI and how that is being used to help with targeted promotions as well as personalized shopping experiences. So that's been it. We were in conversation with Rory Bosman. He is the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer over at eCentric. Rory, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Madiba. It was a pleasure.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.